Hello, everybody. I'm Ed Robinson, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Robinson Show. You know, the NBA draft wrapped up recently, and also we had some shakeups in the world of the NBA, and we're going to talk about the NBA draft as well as a lot of the acquisitions that had taken place, and we want to welcome her back to the Robinson Show. She's the host of the B Report and the co-host of the Huddle Up on the MTMB Sports Podcast Network, and she's also a head of NBA content, a sports writer, and a correspondent for the Ambush Sports Network and a writer for Beyond Women's Sports, Benora Lewis. Hey, V, welcome back.
Hi, can you hear me well?
I can hear you loud and clear.
Great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty well, and yourself?
Good.
All right. Well, before we recap the NBA draft, there was a developing story that has happened. Of course, Golden State Warriors guard Klay Thompson is going to be out for the 2020-2021 NBA season. He suffered an injury to his right leg during a workout. Well, the confirmed injury is that he injured his Achilles tendon. What information can you gather up from this? And then also, too, how does Golden State look going forward now with another setback with Klay Thompson?
Well, first I want to say my thoughts and prayers are with Klay Thompson. I hope he does heal quickly because an Achilles injury is definitely a season-ending injury, and it's incredibly painful. So I know that was probably not the way he definitely wanted to start this year, the season coming up, because he's just trying so hard to get back on the court. I think was why he got injured, pushing himself way too hard, too fast. So definitely want to start there. But I am a little concerned with the Warriors because without Klay is like that clutch three-point shooter. So not having him will make things a little bit difficult. But I still think that the rest of the team will be able to at least try to maneuver around it. I think that, and also they did pretty decent in the draft, so hopefully some of that new talent can not replace him, because there's no replacing Klay Thompson, but help out and assist in that way.
You're absolutely right about that. There is no replacing Klay Thompson. Just like you said, he's that one part of that 1-2 punch, and he's a clutch shooter, man, and that's a terrible injury right there, and our thoughts and prayers are with him. So while we had the Klay Thompson situation go down, the NBA is really rocking and rolling with trades in such a short offseason. Matter of fact, this is going to be the shortest offseason in league history. Chris Paul Chris Paul was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder. Chris Paul was traded to the Phoenix Suns, and in return, Oklahoma City would get Kelly Oubre Jr., Ricky Rubio, who was later traded back to his former team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, and Oklahoma City also get Ty Jerome. This is a big shakeup. First of all, give me your thoughts on CP3 going to Phoenix.
Personally, I just feel like CP3 going to Phoenix is kind of like that's his last spot, me personally looking at it. I was kind of shocked they sent him there. But again, the Suns, they did have a decent year last year, so there's hope. There's always hope, but I don't know. I didn't think that was the spot he needed to be at, especially if he wants to chip or anything. I don't see that being a possibility.
Let's stay with this for a moment. I was pretty shocked that he was dealt to Phoenix. I want to stay with CP3 for a moment. So you mentioned his hopes and aspirations for winning a championship. Where was LeBron and where were the Lakers in all of this? Do you think the Lakers had some type of say in this, or do you think the Thunder was doing the right thing and just they knew exactly what they're doing in trading him over to Phoenix?
Well, for OKC, this is their team is still, again, young, so there's a lot of room to change things around there. So, and also CP3, I don't see the Lakers having really that much to do with it because they didn't want him, so they didn't try to go get him. But I didn't understand that trade when I saw that headline. I was very confused, but when you're in trade mania, it's like you have a million headlines coming at you at one time. So I'm a little upset about that because I do want him to get a chip, but he's just not going to get it in Phoenix. So it's just like, it's just sad to me. But he wasn't getting OKC either. So it was just kind of like.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I don't think the Thunder were gonna compete for a championship, but definitely wasn't gonna get it there. Well, who knows after this season is completed? Maybe LeBron will get in the mix, and I think it's still not over for CP3. I still see him landing in LA, landing with LeBron at some point, and going for the chip. Also, interesting trade. I think it's a good move, but I like this trade with Josh Richardson. Going to the Dallas Mavericks and the Philadelphia 76ers are going to get Seth Curry. Man, if the Sixers needed some offense, and it showed in this postseason play where their offense just was not there. Ben Simmons got hurt. So Seth Curry is a great shooter and a nice addition for the Sixers. Your thoughts on that trade?
Oh, yeah. The 76ers, because they're overall, I like that team. You know, I'm not a Philly fan, but I like the team. But you're right, having Seth Curry go over there, definitely a good move. Definitely going to bring some life to the team. You got a new coach. You got some really great draft picks they picked up. So it's just like the Sixers could possibly be back. And, you know, you got also Josh Richardson going to the Mavericks. That's a good spot for him as well. I think that trade was good for everybody around.
Rightfully so. When I saw this player come up, I thought to myself, I said, but this was one of Venora's favorite players during this past postseason. Mr. Danny Green was traded to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and in return, the Lakers are going to get Dennis Schroeder. This was an interesting trade right here because, yeah, Danny Green, a solid three-point shooter, but Dennis Schroeder is one of the young and emerging stars in the league. Now, Dennis Schroeder is going to the Lakers. This is an interesting trade. Right here between OKC and the Lakers. Who won out on this deal, and how do both teams move forward with these deals?
Well, anyone going to the Lakers is always a good fit. That's always a good vibe because you have the best player in the NBA who plays in the Lakers, who makes everybody a better player when you get there. So, definitely Lakers won that trade. But actually, both teams pretty much won there because both teams got some really solid pieces. When it comes to the Lakers, again, if I was Danny Green, I'd be very excited. You got a lot of things coming your way and a lot of good. Like, I don't see this as a bad trade. I think this is a smart trade, and I do believe both teams made out well here. You got both teams got pieces that are going to, again, enhance their team. Lakers are already pretty much creating this ridiculous dynasty who's going to beat them for like the next like 5 years. So it's just like there's no losers here.
Yeah, I don't see it as any losers either, but I think the Lakers went slightly on this one. They actually got better because Dennis is the better all-around player. Danny Green is really nice. And again, he'll fit in nicely with all of that young talent in OKC. Now, Venora, I thought about you again with Mr. Russell Westbrook. The trade rumors continue with him and James Harden. There's reports that they don't want to be in Houston anymore. Harden could be reunited with his ex-teammate from OKC, Mr. Kevin Durant, joining Kyrie Irving. There's reports that Westbrook may go to Detroit or he may head to your beloved New York Knicks, or he may go down I-95 and go to Philadelphia. What's your take on this whole Harden and Westbrook situation?
I would personally be disgusted if Harden does go to Brooklyn because I would rather him come to the Knicks, but he doesn't want to. But if he does go to Brooklyn, that would make the Nets, like, ridiculous. And that's not fun for someone who's a Knicks fan. That's just, like, great. Now just great. Our team just continues to suck while they're really good. I would jump for joy if Westbrook came to the Knicks. I'm buying the jersey immediately. And I'm going to take every crazy game we're going to lose by 10 because Westbrook's going to overplay and then get himself tight and then going to get kicked out of the game. But I'm ready for all that thing as a Knicks fan. But as an analyst, I still would want Russ to come to the Garden because the Knicks helped me a lot of help. And even though we got a lot of help in the draft, but we're still not looking at a championship at all anytime soon. So we need somebody, a star, that wants to be on our team. So I would be very upset with the Philly. That would break my heart because that's a rival, so that wouldn't be cool. But it seems like Harden really wants to go to Brooklyn. He's been, like, talking about Brooklyn. Brooklyn's been circling around on the internet, and Harden is all excited and liking things. So I'm a little nervous about that. Him with Katie and Kyrie are just like, oh, come on. Like, that's not even fair. But I would rather see, of course, both players in New York, but and on my Knicks, not on the Nets. But I do believe both players desperately want to leave Houston. So we're going to see where they end up at. But my hope and prayer is that Westbrook just somehow could just steer it right and come to the Garden. Or if James Harden comes to the Garden, I don't know what I would do. I probably would cry. That would be a very good day.
Well, speaking of one of the Eastern Conference rivals, both rivals to the Knicks and the Nets in the 76ers is the Boston Celtics. Gordon Hayward has declined the player option, which makes him a free agent. So what do you think this sets the stage for Gordon in his future? Do you think he may try to renegotiate with Boston to get more money, or do you think he may stay on the East Coast and could possibly play for your beloved Knicks or maybe Brooklyn or Philly, or may he head out west to go play with LeBron or go to the Clippers? Where do you see Gordon Hayward's next move?
If I was Gordon Hayward, I would ask for more money because he is on a great team. The Boston Celtics are a good, solid team. We saw that throughout the playoffs. We've seen that through for the past few years. So there's a lot of good there. I personally would definitely get my money, but fight for my money. But if he does come to the Knicks again, I am welcoming every all-star, every good player who wants to come and play for the Garden. Please come. Come on down. We'll buy your jersey up. We'll support you. We'll love you. Because we just need help. And that's how I look at it comes to the Knicks. But if you have to go to the Clippers, that would be interesting. He would have a different vibe, different pace of team. So I think that would be a good fit as well. But I think, personally, I think he's probably trying to get more money out of the deal. That's why we're done.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, you know, this is a business, and, you know, we get so attached to our favorite athletes and being on the teams that we like, but, hey, it's a business. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, nothing like professional sports, I tell you. And also, this is some news that just came in. The Golden State Warriors in the midst of this Klay Thompson situation with him tearing his Achilles, being out for the whole season, they're in talks right now of a deal to acquire Kelly Oubre Jr. from Oklahoma City. So that would be huge. So now with Golden State drafting James Wiseman, and now they're nearing a deal to try to get Kelly Oubre Jr. Give me your thoughts on Kelly possibly landing in the Bay.
I like Kelly Oubre Jr. I've seen him play a few times. I saw him when he was in D.C. when he was on the Wizards. I was going to a few of those games. I think that he's a good small forward. He would be a good addition to Golden State. Because, again, Golden State's young, and they just are young, fast, and they can all shoot. Kelly can shoot. So it's just like, I personally, if I was Golden State, take him, put on your team and see how, because, again, he's working with Steph and all them. So that's still, you have a lot of pieces that already know how to move. Golden State knows how to operate with or without Klay Thompson. So that's not a new thing for them. But this, he would be an extreme benefit to the team. Now, I know that his team doesn't want him to go. I know that it's like I believe he's on the Suns right now. So, yeah, I don't think the Suns want him to go because he's helpful there. But still, you're going to chance to play with the Warriors. Why would I risk it not go?
All right, well, that's the latest on Kelly Oubre Jr. Now, Venora, I want you to stay tight because when we come back from the break, we're going to recap the 2020 NBA draft. We have Venora Lewis as the guest on The Robinson Show. I'm Ed Robinson. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
/145/92
/180/111
/182/100 And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only moments that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.
They said it could be some kind of food allergy.
My muscles ached. I was tired all the time.
It happened like that, a full-blown asthma attack. It was scary.
The unsettling thing about some symptoms is
a fever, headaches. I have these red, itchy welts.
You don't always know what's causing them.
It was Lyme disease from a tick bite.
I had West Nile virus from a mosquito.
A reaction triggered by cockroach allergens.
Bed bugs.
Threats to your health can come from the most unexpected places. Mosquitoes can transmit West Nile virus and also Zika virus. Ticks can carry Lyme disease and Rocky Mountain spotted fever. And allergens from cockroaches can trigger asthma attacks, leading to respiratory distress. Don't wait until you or someone you love is suffering with unexplained symptoms. Get the facts you need to protect your family. Visit pestworld.org.
Presents the 2020 Bill Russell MVP Trophy.
Of course, the finals MVP trophy, as you just said, is named after Bill Russell, who has been with us every year for the finals, but of course couldn't be in the bubble this year, but I know he's watching at home. And I have a feeling that this finals MVP is going to have a trophy named after him one day. The finals MVP is LeBron James.
When you become a Laker, you've got to do it with them as well. Well, you have done it, LeBron. What does it mean to you?
It means a lot. It means a lot to represent this franchise. Jeannie, I told Jeannie when I came here that I was going to put this franchise back in a position where it belongs. Her late great father did it for so many years, and she just, you know, took it on after that. And for me to be a part of such a historical franchise is it's an unbelievable feeling. Not only for myself, but for my teammates, for the organization, for the coaches, for the trainers, everybody that's here. We just want our respect. Rob wants his respect. Coach Vogel wants his respect. Our organization wants their respect. Laker Nation wants their respect. And I want my damn respect, too.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the program. That audio was courtesy of ABC Sports, ESPN, the Walt Disney Company, and the National Basketball Association. That's the way the 2019-2020 season ended, with the Los Angeles Lakers winning the 2020 NBA Finals. And, of course, you had LeBron James winning the MVP and talking about him wanting the respect, the Lakers wanting the respect, and they got their respect. They earned their respect. And speaking of being respected, we have Venora Lewis, who is always a respected person in basketball and on all things basketball. We have her back on. So, Venora, that was the way the 2019-2020 season ended. And now let's recap the 2020 NBA draft. The number one pick went to the Minnesota Timberwolves, and they selected Anthony Edwards from the University of Georgia. So the Timberwolves already have Karl Anthony Towns. There's so much young talent on that team. Your thoughts on Anthony going to the T-Wolves?
I thought this was a great pick for the Timberwolves. I kind of thought this was Anthony would be the first pick throughout this entire, you know, as you, anyone turn on SportsCenter this week, this is this young man. You saw his face everywhere. You saw his film everywhere. He He wasn't the most, like, amazing college star, I'll say, but he was able, he shows he had a lot of potential, and the Timberwolves are already kind of, like you said, they have talent, they have great players, so, but this kid, like, he just stood out to everybody. You know, he doesn't have, like, the, I would say, not, I don't want to say he's the best college player, but he just, like, he wowed us all in, and that's why he's number one. So shout out to him. I thought this was a good pickup for the Timberwolves.
So the future's in place for the Minnesota Timberwolves. This is like the Anthony Edwards from the the University of Georgia. So now the next pick that we have, the number two overall pick was James Wiseman from the University of Memphis. He was selected by the team that we talked about earlier with the Golden State Warriors. Now, Venora, James played only three games during the 2019 college basketball season. There were some issues that happened at the University of Memphis involving him and his coach, Penny Hardaway. But nevertheless, James is a talent. He's going to be joining a team that's currently in their prime right now in the Golden State Warriors. We know about the Klay situation. So James is automatically going to be – he's going to have to step up immediately, and they need a big man. Just give me your take on James and his role going forward with Golden State.
If I'm not mistaken, I thought I saw a tweet that like Steph Curry put out that he like actually to work with James Wiseman, like younger. So look how that goes full circle. That was pretty dope. I think him being picked number two shows again. I think Golden State knows what they're doing. Golden State is not bad at drafting. That's something we all know for a fact. I think James Wiseman is a great pick, especially right now after getting the unfortunate Klay Thompson news. Like, you need to throw somebody in there immediately, someone who's already been working with some of the players, and he has been. So that's just, like, a perfect addition. So I think he is a great pickup, and I think he is ready to rock and roll. He didn't even need a full season in college ball for us to show us that he knows what he's doing. So, shout out to Golden State. They saw something that clearly we didn't see something, but they saw it, and it was deeper than that. So I think that's the best pick they could have done for number two.
All right, so James Wiseman was selected number two overall by the Golden State Warriors. The next pick that we had, the third overall pick, belonged to the Charlotte Hornets, and they selected LaMelo Ball out of Australia. He was played a couple of years of ball overseas in Australia, and he also played high school basketball in the Los Angeles area. So LaMelo was one of the hyped picks in this year's draft. LaMelo, of course, we know his brother Lonzo is currently playing with the New Orleans Pelicans. LiAngelo was playing overseas for quite some time in China, but now LaMelo is supposed to be the one that's really supposed to step up and get things going in Charlotte. How effective will LaMelo be in his first several years in the league, and how will he impact Charlotte just in terms of not just the ball name, but just his dad alone?
I think personally, LaMelo Ball, honestly, associate him with his dad and his family. I kind of associate him just by what I've seen him play. That young man is this. We already knew the second we saw his name entering declaring for the draft, he was going to get picked in the top five. I thought he was going to go number one. I was praying Knicks could get him, but it is what it is. He is everything we need that the Hornets need. He's a great addition to their team. And I think the only thing he has to work on is defense. I think definitely that's what I would start improving on that immediately because that's one of his weak areas. But again, this is a kid that I think is going to change things around in Charlotte. And I'm just going to put that, go on that ledge right now because this kid is still, he's better than Lonzo. We already know he's better than Leanne.
Venora, are you still there? She dropped out for a minute, but yeah, you could just hear the passion that she had in terms of a LaMelo Ball going to the Charlotte Hornets, and definitely it's a lot of excitement right there. You know, LeVar, his dad once said that LaMelo, he said, out of all the three of the boys, he said, all of them are talented, but he said LaMelo was the best one out of all of them. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a short break. We'll see if Venora's back on with us, and again, we'll take a commercial break, and we'll be right back.
Get it. Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Get it.
Is she gonna get it, Daddy?
She'll get it.
Get it. Get it.
When you bring home a Goodwill fund, you give your whole town a reason to celebrate because you're also funding local job training and placement programs in tech, healthcare, and more. Goodwill. Bring good home.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the program. Venora, are you there with us? I can hear you loud and clear. Okay, so we have her back
right,
on.
Great.
So again, she mentioned So again, you mentioned about the excitement of LaMelo Ball being in Charlotte, and the next pick that we had was Patrick Williams out of Florida State going to the Chicago Bulls. Again, the Bulls are a young team, and the promise is high. There haven't been a lot of winning seasons lately in the Windy City. However, they have Zach LaVine, there's Lauri Markkanen, there's Otto Porter, and now they've got Patrick Williams. So just tell me your thoughts on the Bulls selecting Patrick.
He is a big, he's a big, like they say, he has wide shoulders, which is always helpful as someone who's big, who's 6'8". But I think, like, I agree with you that the Bulls have not been having a winning track at all. They've been struggling greatly. So I am a little concerned with this pick. I don't think this was the best pick for the Bulls. I think the Bulls definitely need to work on other areas. Also, he's not a great shooter. And that doesn't help right now. Like, Bulls need some shooters. But again, we don't know what Patrick Williams is going to do once he gets there. So let's hope that while he's like practicing and getting ready, because like you said, he starts the season next month. So let's just hope that he can start working on his shooting and be able to definitely score some buckets. For you to be 6'8", you can't shoot. It's not a good vibe. But there's also a lot of good that you. This young man brings. He did really well at Florida State, so I wouldn't have picked him as number four, but I hope him the best in Chicago.
All right, let's move along now to another team in the Midwest, the Cleveland Cavaliers. Their selection was Isaac Okoro from Auburn University. So Cleveland, they've got Andre Drummond. They've got him locked for the next several years. They've got also Matthew Dellavedova. Kevin Love is on the team. And they've got Larry Nance Jr. Then that says Colin Sexton, and there's Tristan Thompson. So Isaac is a point guard, just a small forward. And again, Cleveland is still a relatively young team. How does Isaac fit in the mix in Cleveland?
I think Isaac is a good pick. He's very good in defense, and Cleveland needs some defensive work. The fact that he's Isaac is stellar in defense definitely helps out a lot. He's also his basketball IQ and his instincts has definitely gotten him this far. They're very, very strong, and he definitely exceeds in those areas. So I think while he's working on right now, I believe he's working on getting his shot together. He's a great fit for Cleveland. He could definitely improve where they're weak at, which is their defense. So I think that he's a great pick.
All right, the next pick that we had belonged to the Atlanta Hawks, and they selected Onyeka Okongwu from USC. Now, this is interesting because Okongwu is a power forward, and he was one of the sought-after picks in the draft, so he'll be joining Clint Capella, John Collins, and, of course, we all know about Mr. Trae Young, who is just all-world and just all Mr. All-Everything for the Atlanta Hawks. Your thoughts on Onyeka landing in the ATL?
I was shocked with this pick. I didn't see him going to Atlanta. I didn't that wasn't where I would have put him. But working with the Hawks would not be a bad place. But I think he'll thrive there. It'll take some time. He definitely has to find his own. Because the thing is, they already have like somebody that they already have somebody that kind of does what he does. So I don't know, but I think overall, once he gets again intertwined with the team, I think there'll be some hope there. But I really didn't understand this pick, to be honest, for Atlanta.
All right, well, fair enough. So now we're going to jump a little bit ahead in this first round. Your beloved New York Knicks, they selected power forward Obi Toppin out of Dayton. And, of course, this is a homecoming for Obi because he is a native of the New York City area. Of course, he was solid, and the Knicks need a lot of help in more ways than one. And definitely this could be the first step to the Knicks becoming relevant again and also being known once again and competing at least in the Eastern Conference. So there's RJ Barrett, you know, you've got Kevin Knox, there's Frank Ntilikina, you've got also Julius Randle, and there's Dennis Smith. Now you've got also, you can add Obi Toppin to the mix. How does Obi fit into things in Manhattan?
I know a lot of people are not a fan of Obi coming to the Knicks. They don't understand why we need him on the Knicks, but I am here for him being on the Knicks. I saw what he did out in Dayton, and no, we need him. We need him. We need the best we can get. And I personally was jumping for joy, as always, when I saw that he was picked, because I was like, yes, there's hope. He brings hope back. And being from Brooklyn, heading back to, you know, your favorite state, you're going home, that always gives a little bit of a boost. So I'm going to go with, I love this kid. I've already seen him play in college, and I'm ready for him to play with the Knicks.
All right, let's
pick.
Move up. Okay, yeah, so Venora, of course, a New Yorker, she thinks that it was a great pick by the Knicks, much to the dismay of some loyal Knicks fans. But nevertheless, Obi Toppin was selected by the New York Knicks. Let's move ahead a little bit. Now, I want to talk about the Sacramento Kings. They selected a point guard in Tyrese Haliburton. Tyrese was out of Iowa State. Against Sacramento, they're trying to find their groove. They had a chance to make a run. They missed out on the play-in game and the restart of the NBA season. Just tell me your thoughts on Tyrese landing in Sacktown.
I was a little shocked about this pick because you already have De'Aaron Fox, but he can play behind De'Aaron Fox, which is what's needed. Sacramento has a lot of great pieces, but they just probably don't come together the right way. So I would definitely say I was shocked. I think this is one of the best players, honestly, in the draft. I thought he was going to go in the top 10, but the fact that he fell to 12, lucky for the Kings. I believe that Tyrese is just that missing piece that would help. I was a little confused at first. I was like, you do have De'Aaron Fox, but at the same time, I think he will be great to work with De'Aaron Fox to help this team get themselves to the next level.
All right, the New Orleans Pelicans had the number one overall pick in last year's NBA draft, selecting Zion Williamson out of Duke. And now this is going to be year two of the Zion administration, and they had the following pick: point guard Kyra Lewis Jr. out of Alabama. I thought this was a great pick for the Pels because Drew Holiday was traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. And in return, I believe the Pelicans are going to receive George Hill and Eric Bledsoe. So definitely this is a young talent that they have. He's going to start right away in New Orleans. Give me your take on Kyra heading to the Pelicans.
Just like you said, this was the pick. New Orleans could pick because this was needed. They needed a strong point guard. They needed someone that had the speed, that has the skill, that can shoot. That's what New Orleans need right now. So Kyra was just a perfect fit. Like, New Orleans did it right. That's what I can say. Like, this was the player they needed. The fact that he fell this far, I know they were like, we're not even going to hesitate, and they snatched him up because he's what they need. They need this type of speed. They need this his type of skill. They need he is the best. He could be, actually, I think he could be one of the best point guards in this class. So I think him with Zion, man, the Pelicans are going to be scary.
Yeah, it is going to be scary for the next 3 to 5 years, especially with the West. I mean, the Lakers and the Clippers, but also New Orleans has a chance to compete with Denver and Utah and Oklahoma City and Portland. So it's definitely going to be fun to watch. I want to move ahead and jump a little bit ahead. Now, Cole Anthony, a player at North Carolina, was drafted by the Orlando Magic. That was a good pick for Orlando. We talked about New Orleans making that draft pick, but now Cole Anthony was drafted by the Magic. The Magic had a solid year with the likes of Aaron Gordon. Also, you had a load of talent on that team. Nikola Vukovic played very well last year. Give me your take on Cole headed to Orlando.
I think I like the pick. It was I was more like, okay, cool, because I liked his backstory personally. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I was a little concerned about him early in college. Kind of like at him at North Carolina, he had a lot of injuries and kids suffered a lot, but I guess that little determination definitely got him to where he is today. So, hey, shout out to him. But if he is able to stay healthy and improve his 3-point shot, he can be very, very helpful to the rest of the team, to Aaron Gordon. I think he can be a very good asset if he can get his 3-point shot together and stay healthy and keep those joints right.
Rightfully so. Again, I mispronounced the guy's name. His name is Nikola Vucevic. That's Nikola Vucevic for the Orlando Magic. So Cole Anthony headed to Orlando.
I give you for even trying. I wasn't. Respect to you.
Thank you so much. Let's move along to the Portland Trailblazers. They've selected Isaiah Stewart. He plays power forward and center out of the University of Washington. This is an interesting pick because Yusuf Nurkic was working his way back into the lineup from that horrible injury the year before. Also, you had Myers Leonard filled in nicely for Nurkic, but Isaiah Stewart is coming into the fold with Portland. They've got already one of the best two-guard combinations in the league with Damian Lillard and C.J. McCollum. Your thoughts on Isaiah headed to Portland?
I agree with you. He's going, of course, into a group where you already have some strong pieces, so it's a great learning experience. I don't see him thriving there, though. I see him learning and taking a back seat. So that was an interesting pick to me. I was a little confused that Portland chose Isaiah, but, nothing wrong. Like what we learned in all different sports, that taking the backseat, learning from the best, why not? So I think it'll be good for him in the long run, but I was kind of shocked by that pick.
Portland would maybe go with a forward or something like that, but I don't know. Hey, that's the choice that they made. So they needed somebody to fill in that role for, for Yusuf Nurkic, who again is working his way back from that gruesome injury that he had a season ago. Then I want to jump ahead a little bit to the Brooklyn Nets now. Saddiq Bey. The Brooklyn Nets drafted Saddiq Bey out of Villanova. Saddiq is a small forward. This is an interesting pick right here because depending upon what happens with James Harden, this could be a nice situation for Brooklyn, whether Harden, no Harden. It's KD and Kyrie. Your thoughts on Saddiq going to Brooklyn?
Anyone who joins Brooklyn, which is like turning into a dynasty here their own way, is automatically in a good spot. Again, you're joining Kyrie and possibly James Harden, which is frustrating. And, I lost his name in my head. KD. So, there's definitely room for growth. There's room for lots of leadership capabilities, a lot of time to learn different type of ball handling, different type of styles, different type of energy. And that's a huge teaching opportunity that can definitely project this young man's career forward by a ridiculous amount. So I was shocked by the pick, but it's great. I know he is jumping for joy. He ain't got nothing to complain about.
You're right about that. He's in a perfect situation right now. So that's Sadiq Bey being drafted by the Brooklyn Nets. Let me jump a little ahead now to the Philadelphia 76ers. They landed Tyrese Maxey, a point guard, out of the University of Kentucky. This is interesting because the 76ers, of course, this is it happened on draft day. They traded Al Horford to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and in return, they got Danny Green. So Danny Green winds up in Philly, and you got Al Horford gone. So now you got Tyrese, who's a point guard, and Philly is already a young team. Ben Simmons still working on the shot. Joel Embiid, they want him to become the leader of the team. They've also got Seth Curry through a trade. So your thoughts on Tyrese in Philly?
Like you just said, Ben Simmons is still working on the shot. You have I'm hoping, a future leader on the team. So you also have Steph Curry on your team. I don't see nothing wrong here at all. I see this as I'm not really shocked by this pick, but it's also a really good situation for growth. It's a great team to be on to even exert your own leadership vibe and what kind of way you want to bring. So I think this is a decent pick, especially for where it lands. So I'm for it. I have no objection whatsoever.
All right, so that was the deal on that right there with Tyrese Maxey being tricked going to the Philadelphia 76ers. We're just going to jump ahead a little bit. Cassius Winston, a senior out of Michigan State, he went in the second round. He was drafted by the Oklahoma City Thunder, but later traded to the Washington Mystics. Cassius, an effective player throughout his time with the Spartans. Just give me your take on Cassius headed to the Wizards.
I thought this was a Wizard pick up. I thought it was a good pick for the Wizards, especially in the second round. So the Wizards are the sneaky Wizards got them. So I think this is gonna be a great addition to the team. Definitely will help just the Wizards overall. They need morale boost. They just need a lot of work. Not like the Knicks need a lot of work, but they need a lot of work over there. So I think he'll be definitely a great addition to that side. I thought it was a great pickup, for sure.
All right, and that was just some of the movers and shakers in the 2020 NBA draft. All right, Venora, give me your highlights and lowlights from this year's draft.
Definitely my highlight is the Knicks doing well. I thought we drafted very well this year. I was going to give us a good solid B+ in drafting. We usually are a solid C-. So the fact that I can look at it and be content and there's a future and there's hope, I am ecstatic about. So that's definitely my high point. I would say my low point is the fact that Brooklyn is probably going to take James Harden, and they got some good picks out in this draft. So yeah, so that's just going to be what's going to be. But, overall, I thought the draft ran very smoothly. I'm going to shout out the NBA for having the virtual draft run smoothly like it did. And I had a very, very soft spot for a few of the players and their backstories and what they had to do in their trials and tribulations. So that was also my high. I always loved, I'm a huge fan, I'm a huge fan of Path to Draft. So it's like another version of Path to Draft for me from the NBA perspective. And I just, it really hit home, and I was very, very, I feel like an auntie. I'm very proud of everybody. I got sick.
All right, and what were some of your lowlights?
I would say I didn't think the Utah Jazz did very well this draft. I was a little shocked by that because they do need some adjustments to their team. I was actually, I'm not going to say I was shocked. I was very shocked by that. They did pick up a young man from Kansas and a guy from Syracuse. So I just was with a guy from the Pelicans, but it was just, I didn't think they draft correctly for what their actual needs were. So that was a little low point, but other than that, that was it for me. I think everything else went very well. I think most of the players on the right team, they should be on. So I wish LaMelo Ball in the Knicks, but it's what it is. But I think the draft itself was very interesting. I can't wait to see what these young men do on the court next month.
The NBA draft this year was different for me. As long as I've been watching the NBA draft, there was always excitement with the players. There was always a shock value or a pop and sizzle to it. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but this year's draft just didn't give me the pop and sizzle. It just was, all of the players were young and all of the players were good, were talented enough to be drafted. But it just didn't give me that draft feel of just like waiting on the edge of my seat. It just wasn't anything that gave me any shock value. What did you take anything away from that in this year's draft, or do you think it was pretty solid from start to finish?
No, I agree with you 100%. That shock value is gone. Like, I did not get any of that. I felt like everybody's names that were called, when I was doing my mock draft, it was kind of kind of in that order, which is like, I'm not a psychic, so I know that's not right. So because of how we had to do the draft and how things were executed, it's just the shock and the excitement is just gone right now. And I think that's due to the climate that we're in right now. But I agree with you that, all these young, you guys are young, they are all talented, they all deserve to be picked, but it was just like there wasn't any, like, sleepers that we didn't see coming kind of thing. Like, oh, someone went all the way to some random country and picked up somebody. It wasn't like that this draft. It was more like, okay, we kind of see where everybody picked and, like, why y'all picked them, and it makes sense. So I agree with you. There wasn't any shocker picks or sleeper picks that I thought were coming. The only person I was, like, looking out for was, I know this young rapper, he declared that he was going to the draft yesterday, and I was just like, I want to see how that goes, because if someone picked him, I might have been like, okay, here comes that shock value again, but it wasn't like that, so I can agree with you on that statement.
One more Knicks pick I want to mention, because I know that was one of your highlights from this year's draft. Leandro Balmaro out of Argentina. Give me your thoughts on that move with the Knicks.
That was on Nick Brand. I could say that's us. We like to always find someone that if you never heard of, like, I never heard of him. Most people probably haven't heard of him, especially if you like watching, your regular college game, so that was shocking, but it's on brand, so I'm not upset about it. I always see the Knicks going with somebody overseas, so I'm hoping that, like, according to what I was hearing about him, like, while I was watching the draft, that his father also played, and he can be a really good talent to our, help to our team, and again, Knicks need help. I'll take all the help they can get. That's how I see it.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but I know he was traded on draft night. He was a Knick for like maybe several hours, and he was traded to the Minnesota Timberwolves. So he's going to be joining Anthony Edwards in Minnesota.
Well, that's what happens when you leave the room for a second. I even know that happened. So,
goddamn, how
fun. And the Timberwolves then.
Yeah, but it was so interesting because there were so many trades. I can't recall a draft year where there were not only trades in the middle of the draft, but even before the draft, like 2 days leading up to the draft, there were so many trades, and there's still trades going on even as we speak. But, Venora, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to be on the program. Tell everybody real quickly what you do with the V Report, the Huddle Up, and also with Ambush and Beyond Women's Sports.
Oh, thank you for having me. And with Ambush and Beyond Women's Sports, I cover basketball. With Ambush, I cover WNBA and NBA. On Beyond Women's Sports, I cover the New York Liberty specifically. On the Huddle Up, I debate six other of the MTMV co-hosts on a weekly basis, which is if you want to watch it live, you can watch it on YouTube or Facebook at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And on the V Report, that's my own personal podcast where I talk about what's going on in NFL, NBA, WNBA, and I throw a little bit of baseball in there. And I also now write for another website. It's called football mania. I just specifically talked just about football and what's going on. And like, I've done articles on fantasy football. I've done articles on different, some of y'all's different favorite players. So definitely you can check me out on all those different sites.
Tell everybody, speaking of football, we're in the midst of football season. Tell everybody about your show, NFL Digest.
Oh, yes. On a weekly basis, I put out on Thursdays my favorite games of the week. I take a few of the ones that are crazy bad, and I take some of the ones that are excitement. I always have my game of the week, and I get a deeper analysis into those games. On my V reports, I have to keep them pretty quick because I get a lot of content, a lot of information. But on my NFL Digest, you can also call me and debate with me on there about different outcomes of teams and what's going on with these players, stuff like that. So that's it.
All right. And Venora, again, before we let you go, tell everybody where they can find you on social media. And if you have a website, let them know that as well.
Yes, you guys can all find me on Twitter and Instagram at Nora, N-O-R-A, underscore Natish, N-A-T-I-S-H. And right now, the only website I have is my foundation website, which is the VLFoundation.org. So you guys would definitely want to see the other side of me that's more about my philanthropy and all the things I do. You can check me out on that. If you want to see my sports take, definitely hit up my Instagram and Twitter because that's where I talk most of it and debate it.
Well, you heard it from her. She's Venora Lewis. She's not a jack of all trades. She's a Jill of all trades. She's the host of the V Report, also the co-host of the Huddle Up on the MTMV Sports Podcast Network. She also writes for Amber Sports Network, Beyond Women's Sports, and also doing some other things in regards to football, pro football, that is, and also check her out with NFL Digest. Venora, thank you so much for being on the program. If ever you want to come back on, feel free to let us know.
All right, thank you.
All right, you're welcome. And that's going to do it for another exciting edition of The Robinson Show. I'm your host, Ed Robinson. And remember, put God first in everything you do. And put God first in everything you do, and you can't go wrong. Until next time, stick to the script. I'm out. Peace.
/145/92.
180/111.
182/100. And I had a heart attack and a cardiac arrest and then a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure looks like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from invisible or silent.
My memory is shot.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak.
I can't button up a shirt. I can't run.
I've had to learn to swallow again.
That's the only movement that I have. And I'm 33, so I never see this coming.
If I would have followed a treatment plan, I would not be in this situation.
Had I done this, had I done that, hell, I messed up.
Get back on your plan or talk with your doctor to create an exercise, diet, and medication plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhpp.org.
Head to toe, everything's changed. Head to toe.